Well, China marked its National Day celebrations on the weekend and at the same time was flying 93 military sorties near Taiwan's airspace. It continues a trend under President Xi Jinping of escalating pressure to bring the self-ruled island under Beijing's control in one of the most difficult and dangerous sovereignty conundrums in the world. But what do the Taiwanese people think after 70 years of this unresolved relic of China's civil war? Well, Australian research conducted in July shows that the majority of Taiwanese people not only want independence, about half of them want it even if it means a conflict with China. Melissa Connolly-Tyler did that research while on a study visit in Taiwan earlier this year. She's now with the Asia-Pacific Development Diplomacy and Defence Dialogue, partly funded by the Australian government's Civil Military Centre, and we spoke earlier.
Look, I think Taiwanese are more used to this than we might think. That's not to say there's not a threat. It's just been a threat for a very long time. So it's been more than 70 years. There's been a lot of escalation recently, you know, more flyovers, more pressure, more coercion. But it's of a similar type to what Taiwanese have experienced long term. So I think they think very much in terms of national resilience, you know, holding their strength in the face of that coercion, rather than thinking that there's, you know, an imminent attack. For example, when I was researching over there, we actually polled Taiwanese and we found that only 4% thought a Chinese invasion of Taiwan is likely sometime soon, whereas 13% of Australians thought an invasion was likely sometime soon. So actually Australians are more worried about Taiwan being invaded than Taiwan is.
Are Taiwanese worried about miscalculation, perhaps? Because that's the other element when you start serious military manoeuvres around the place.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there could be an accident, and that's always a huge problem. Yeah, look, I mean, these days Taiwanese are very clear that they want independence. 73% want independence if peaceful relations with China could be maintained. But we're now at a point where, you know, around half of Taiwanese want independence, even if it would mean direct conflict with China. In some ways, I think the Taiwanese government is a little bit more cautious than the Taiwanese public on this. There may be some elements who are almost thinking, well, bring it on. We know what we want and we want to get there. But I think the government has to be very cautious about anything that could escalate. And the Tsai government has been very clear in its messaging that it's not going to escalate, that it's not going to make anything worse than it currently is.
And would the Taiwanese people expect a country like Australia to come to their defence if there was a cause?
It's interesting. That was the question I was asked most while I was over there, because Taiwanese had noticed that the relationship between Australia and the mainland had soured very dramatically, and they wanted to know, what does that mean for them? You know, really, could we count on Australia? And so actually the last bit of research I did before I left was asking Australians that question. And, you know, clearly Australians are very sympathetic to Taiwanese aspirations for independence. You know, two-thirds of the Australians polled in this Australia Institute polling said, yeah, Taiwan should become a new country. But only 20% of Australians said that the Australian people are prepared to go to war to help the Taiwanese people gain their independence. 40% were against and 40% were undecided.
And what responsibilities does Australia have here, given, as you mentioned, our somewhat frayed relationship with Beijing, but a democratic affinity with Taiwan? What's your sense of where Australia should be sitting in this very difficult relationship?
Well, one of the things I was looking at was the range of ways that Australia can help Taiwan. And to give a sense, that's where my job is these days. I'm working at the interface of defence, diplomacy and development at the Asia-Pacific Development Defence and Diplomacy Dialogue. And it's all about, you know, not just seeing things entirely through a military lens. So one great thing that Australia is doing with Taiwan is something called the Global Cooperation and Training Program. It's a framework that a number of countries use, and it means that we can have diplomatic discussions with Taiwan without having formal diplomatic relations.
Because that's the complexity here, isn't it? Australia recognises the government in China as the only government of China and doesn't recognise Taiwan, so that's tricky.
But using this framework, we've actually had some fascinating discussions. So while I was over there, we had one looking at vaccines, and there's also been ones on things like money laundering, on countering misinformation, ways that we can work together in the international system. And Taiwan really values that. The thing they feel so strongly is the isolation, is the fact that they're not part of these sort of discussions. They talk a lot about letting Taiwan help, whether that's through the World Health Organization or through other fora. So there are things like that we can do, which, you know, a mutual benefit. We learn a lot from Taiwanese experts, but also which are, you know, really strongly valued.
But at the end of the day, China under Xi Jinping has a very determined stance on Taiwan. Isn't Australia simply going to anger our most important trading partner if we engage in even that level of engagement with Taiwan?
Look, I think we probably used to worry about that more. I think we've taken the view more recently that China will, of course, complain, but, you know, if we believe this is something that we should do, we shouldn't allow ourselves to be bullied or coerced on that.
So if your goal is to integrate these approaches, development, diplomacy and defence, mm-hmm. to try to better work through some of the knotty issues that face us, how do we apply that to Beijing, given how difficult the relationship has been recently?
Absolutely. Look, it is difficult, I understand. What I'm focusing on at the moment is actually our relationships in Southeast Asia and in the Pacific. So Asia-Pacific Development Diplomacy and Defence Dialogue has funding from the Australian Civil Military Centre to look at how we can use the defence diplomacy development perspectives to improve our relationships in those key areas. Now, you might say in some ways that will affect our relationship with Beijing. You know, these are areas where there is great power competition, and Australia being active, being involved, having strong development and diplomacy programs, they're going to really impact on our relationships there. You know, again, that's a matter of saying these are important areas to us and we won't be coerced or bullied about it. We will go into those areas and build as good relationships as we possibly can using all of the tools of statecraft available to us.
Melissa Connolly Tyler, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you again.
Melissa Connolly Tyler is from the Asia Pacific Development Diplomacy and Defence Dialogue, a longer version of that interview at the website.